Kids, come down the front. Give a hand to our kids. Yay! Welcome back. There's a chair over there. Any more? And bears? There are no bears. There are no bears. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, all of you know me. My name is Angela, and I'm one of the KL Kids team. And shortly, I'm going to be going upstairs with my lovely assistant, Prue. And we're going to have a look at the Bible ourselves, separate from Mum and Dad. But I'm other things as well. I'm not just a KL Kids leader. What else am I? What have you seen me be? I've been a tree. It's true. What else have I... You've been a tree too. Yes, Kelsey. What else have I been? I've been an agent 98 and a half. Yes, I have. I've been other things too. Do you know I'm also... What else have I been, Joe? The artist person, Leonora da Vincini. I've also been Clausina Strangester. But some of you may not know that. Anyway, I'm other things too. I'm a mum. But something else that I am a few days a week is that I am a library technician. That's a big word. I know, two big words. I work in a school, and one of the things I do in that school, in the library, is I decide where on the shelf a book is going to go. Okay? Yeah. You are easily impressed. All right. So, here's a book. What's this book called? Australian Wildlife. All right. If I had that book coming into my library at school, I would need to decide where I was going to put it. Okay? And I do that by looking at what's in it and how it's written. Okay? So, Australian Wildlife, what do you think's in this book? Australian Wildlife. Yay, Kelsey. All right. It's about animals, okay? So do you think this is a fiction book or a non-fiction book? That's non-fiction. All right. So I've actually already got a sticker on this. This does not come from my school. This comes from my home. And yes, all of our non-fiction books are Dewey classified. And where they are on the shelf is available in an online library catalogue system. So this one says 591.994 PAR. If you were Lockie's age and I said, find me a book on animals, could you easily find it by knowing that the Dewey Decimal Number was 591.994 PAR? No. I work in a school library, prep to 12. We put other stickers on our books. We put picture stickers. What kind of picture sticker do you think I would put on this book if it was in our school library, Elijah? A wildlife picture? An animal picture. Okay, so we have a sticker which designates that this is animals. So if you're looking around the library and you go, I want to read a book about animals, you find an animal picture and you know that the book is about animals, fiction or non-fiction. All right, here's another one. Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. Who's read that? Oh, look at all these people who've read that book. None of you kids, you should read it. This is a really exciting story. Robinson Crusoe. How would I decide what sticker to put on that book? I could read the book. Yes, I could read the book. Sadly, I don't have time to read every book in the library. The front cover. All right, so what's on the front cover?
Someone on the beach.
Someone on the beach. Does he look, you know, well and healthy?
No.
Okay. Robinson Crusoe is a story of a man who was shipwrecked, okay? A man who was shipwrecked, the sole survivor, on an island all by himself. It took a while to figure out there was actually other people on the island, and none of the things that he was used to having provided for him, housing and food, and it's set a long time ago, so there probably wasn't running water, but any kind of well, none of that was there. He had to figure it all out for himself. Robinson Crusoe, do you think that's a fiction book or a non-fiction book? You don't know? Hard to tell? It's actually a fiction book, okay? So Robinson Crusoe is not a real person. So I wouldn't put a sticker on this book to say it's a biography. Do you know biographies, stories about real people, true people stories of their lives or parts of their lives? Not a biography, so not a biography sticker. Wouldn't put an animal sticker on it because although I think there are animals in the book, not main characters, animals. It's not mostly about animals. I would put a sticker on this book that it was an adventure story because it really is an adventure story. And if you love adventure stories, I recommend you read Robinson Crusoe. What's this one? It's the Bible. Okay. How would I classify this? Where would I put this one? Where the Bibles are, so non-fiction. So we would get numbers, okay? Because this is my personal Bible, I haven't put a sticker on the side. All right? Okay, but if I was going to put a picture on it to help kids know what sort of stories and information they would find in a Bible, what do you think I could put on it? What do you think? Jesus on the cross, yeah. So every story is Jesus on the cross? Not every story. A sticker that shows something from the Bible? Different, okay, so if it was like a faith or that sort of thing, okay. If I want to designate to kids what sort of stories they can read in the Bible or what sort of things they can read about, it's going to be hard to do without three hands. Here are some stickers. All right, here are my options. You tell me when I get to one that we could put on the spine of this book. Okay. History. Could we put a history sticker on the Bible? All right. Okay, so we've got a history sticker. Okay, biography. Could we put a biography sticker on the Bible? Yes, because stories of people's lives, yeah, especially Jesus' life. I could get someone out here to hold the Bible for me. Kelsey. Okay. All right. Action. Is there action in the Bible? Yeah. Okay. All right. Love. All right. News. Is there news? Yeah. Good news. Okay. Adventure. Is there adventure? Yes. War. Poetry. Mystery or puzzles. Suspense. Animals. Realistic. Yes, that is a genre. Dystopian. Do you know what dystopian is? Yeah. Okay, so future times. All right, and I've got a faith sticker because I work in a Christian school. And I've also got a sticker here called senior. Senior means that students who are under grade 10 are not allowed to borrow this book without parental permission. Do you think there's stuff in the Bible that really is for older people to explain to you?
Yes. All right.
So, really, I could just have one book in the library and it would cover everything, right? Yeah? The Bible is not just one book. The Bible is like a library, a small library, and it has all kinds of different things in it. But it is a book in that it's one big story. Remember last term we talked about that one big story about God's love for us and his plan to save us. One big story in a library. So the Bible is like a library and it's got all that different stuff in it. Today and next week, we're going to learn a little bit more about how the Bible is like a library. For some of you, it will be kind of a revision of a term that we did already, and for others, it will be new. But that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to take this with us. We're also going to take your Bibles as well, that if you remember to bring those. Excellent. If you haven't been with us before, KL Kids is for primary age children And children from 3 years old, if your child wants to go upstairs with our teachers and they are from 3 years old to grade one, then they go with Mrs. Buzz in the first room, and then grade two to six come up with Prue and myself in the other end. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to go up and we're going to learn more about this amazing book / library, which is our Bible. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word that you have given us. I thank you for all the different wonderful things we can read in it and all the different ways that it can engage us and take us in new directions to follow you. And I pray that today in KO Kids that we'll have an excellent time together, caring for one another and learning about your precious word. Amen.
Well, great to have you back with us. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, I thank you for today. Thank you for that beautiful opportunity to acknowledge, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus, to receive all honour, praise and glory. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus, to have our lives. And Father, as we open your word today, as we read the challenge that is laid before us so blatantly, I pray, Lord God, that we will take it seriously. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit and enable us, Lord God, to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen. Before we get into God's word, I'm going to do a bit of an exercise. But before we do the exercise, I want to tell you that today is a very special day. We start a bit of a new series. It's about how to love your neighbour, or love your neighbour. And we're going to look at that passage again and again, and we're going to unpack a whole bunch of things right up until Easter. Now, most of you are sitting there going, yeah, hold on a sec, Donnie, that's really basic. Well, is it? And how well are we doing it? And can we do it better? I would like to think we could do it better. I would love to think we could do it better. I'd love to think I could do it better. And so we're looking at doing it throughout the whole time. And we're going to uncover a whole bunch of things that will help us to do it better. Some of the areas, someone mentioned the busyness of time. Anyone hit with the busyness of time? I've just done a devotional on busyness and how to defeat busyness. I was too busy to finish the devotional, but I'm getting close. We're getting close. But there's going to be a whole bunch of things we'll unpack. All right, okay, so that gives you an idea where we're headed, and Brendan and I are going to share the preaching this whole first term, so you'll have me 1 week, Brendan the next, so forth and so on. Okay, your exercise. I know school went back this week, I can see the glazed eyes and some of the kids already, but it's good to be back into school, and you guys get to start with our school type exercise. Are you ready?
Yes.
Very good, thank you, Brendan. Brendan's used to having meetings with me. All right. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and in this 30 seconds, I want you to stop, empty your head of all things. Cynthia's just thinking cricket, gone, everything's gone. Everything's gone. All right, so just think of so it's gone from your memory. I just want you to think about what is God's vision and mission for you in 2020. Go. All right, 30 seconds up. How many people struggled to do that? You don't just put your hand up. How many people went, yeah, that was easy. I know where I'm going. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm about, my purpose, and everything is all in line. And there's a plan and a vision right before me. And I know exactly what God has me to do on this great green planet called Earth. Yeah, there's a couple. Good. There's a couple. Good. Excellent. We're on our way. Okay. Now, to start with, we're going to start with the absolute basics, the very much interest into it. Now, some of you may have seen that on the very front page of our newsletter, our beautiful little newsletter, for those who've got one on the way in, you'll see that the Bible reading is written there. Here it is. Ready? Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and most important command. And the second command is like it. Love your neighbor and the same as you love yourself. All the law and the writings of the prophets take their meaning from these two commands." That's from the English version. Then there's the NLT for those who would like a different version. And then there's the Message that says this. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion, all your passion, all your prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. That there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophet hangs on them. So it's very similar, very interesting. Now, just before I open it up a little bit further, Steve, yes, you did give me a run sheet. Thank you very much. Only problem was I went and sat with my family and not up the front, and so I got lost, which is not the first time today I've gotten lost, so it's a little bit of a challenge. All right. The word love. Anyone describe the word love for me? Anyone got a definition on the word love? We're not doing real well today, are we? Okay. Sacrifice. Ah, good. I love my football team. And when they lose, I want to sacrifice them. I love pizza. I want to sacrifice my pizza. No, I agree with you, Mark. It is a good word for love. But you understand the word love is very complicated, isn't it? Because we love our football team. Well, love, hate sometimes, isn't it? I love pizza, which I haven't had all year. Drats. It's only 31 days, I know, but it sounds good, doesn't it? All year, no pizza, no ice cream. Anyway, I love them. But what does that mean? And when I say I love my wife, do I love my football team the same way I love my wife? I love pizza the same as I love my wife. I love my wife like I love pizza. No, they're all different, aren't they? So the word love is very complicated. And when we talk about love the Lord your God, what is he talking about? Well, I am able to bring it down to my level of understanding. You see, my wife, and sorry, honey, you're using a bit today. My wife, she loves me. She does. It's a miracle. She knows me. She understands me. But she still stays with me 31 years. She knows the 42 pages of all the things that I do wrong again and again. The page hasn't lessened in 31 years, has it, honey? It's still about 42 pages long. There's more. Thanks. Thanks, darling. Yeah. 42 pages of stuff that I do wrong and don't get right and cause frustration and, you know, those sort of things. She knows all that and still loves me. It's amazing. It's quite brilliant. So the reality is I get that love from this lady and I understand that I am loved. I am greatly loved. And that enables me to love her back and her 21 pages of little things that... But the Bible tells us that God loves us. Amen? He loved us first, before we understood who God was. He loved us. And he loves us this much. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us so much. You know what? If Cynthia and God had a big chat one day, she could find out I've got more than 42 pages. God could tell her the 142 pages that he's aware of that's wrong with me. The things that are not the way it should be. And yet, he loved me that much that he sent his son to the cross. To die for me. That my sins may be forgiven. That I may be in communion with God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I may know him and walk with him daily. That's an amazing God, amen? And he loves me. He loves me, no matter what. He loves me. You got to love these new Bibles that turn themselves off, eh? All right. When Jesus comes along and he says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's an important step for us to start. It's no good loving the neighbor without loving God first. So we need to do that. And I want you to concentrate on doing that this year. Loving God with everything you have. Loving God with everything you are. Loving God with every bit of strength that you have in your being. And then being obedient 100% as he leads us. I want to do a little bit of a conversation between us and God. And so God says he loves us and we have to love him with everything. And this year I asked you, what was our mission? What was our vision? And if you can say that to God, what do you think God would say to you? Maybe we think we've got a plan, Maybe we think we've got a vision. Maybe we think we have a mission. But if we were to stop for 30 seconds and say, okay, God, what is your vision and mission for me? What would he say that may be different? Let me just go through a little bit of a conversation. Jesus says, to love God with all your body and soul and to love your neighbour as yourself. We could reply going, okay, Jesus, I like the first part. That's good. I do want to love you with everything I am. But how do I love my neighbour? That question's been asked before, hasn't it? So Jesus has put a very big connector in the two commandments. Anyone pick it up? The two commandments are there. There's a little bit in the middle. Anyone hear it when we read it out? Have a look at the front page if you want. The second is like it. In other words, it's like it. It's like the water and the sea. You can't have one with the other. It's like body and soul. It's like. There is a connection in and through it. So if you think, I'm going to love God, and that's where I'm going to leave it, then you're missing the point. You've got to love God and love your neighbour. It's no good just saying, well, I'm going to love my neighbour. I'm just going to go out there and do all the good stuff that I can without loving God. That's missing. There's a disconnect. They both have to go together in parallel. The second is like it. Now, this little word like is a little Greek word that comes from the root of a word called hobos. H-O-B-O-S. Is that pretty close to pronounce it, Paul? Close? Excellent. Which means together. Now, when something's together, it's not meant to be split apart, is it? It comes together. You know? It comes together. It's not like when I work on the car. At the beginning of the car, all the parts are together. After I finish working on the car, they're no longer together. And it's a miracle that the car works again. Thank God there's a mechanic that takes care of all that sort of stuff. But the word is together. And it comes from another word, which is C-O-M-O-R-O-S. A word that Jesus often used in parables to compare things. Things like, the kingdom of God is like a field. The kingdom of God is like a net cast into the sea. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. So there's this comparison and this working together. They go hand in hand. These two commandments are like family. They go together like water and ocean, like wind and air, and like the body and the soul. So the first one has to be love God with everything we are. And the second one is to love our neighbour. So let's start by loving God with everything we have. Everything we have. Everything we are. Now I'm going to go into the second one, and I'm going to go into a well-known Samaritan story. How many are surprised by that one? Yeah? Yeah? All right. Open your Bible to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. How many knows where the Samaritan story is? John chapter 4. Okay, in John chapter 4 you'll read that I'm using a different Samaritan story. This is Jesus at the well with a Samaritan woman. The well is a place of water. And the lady comes to the well when? At midday, which is not a time to go to the well and get the water, because you go early in the morning and late at night because it's not so hot, and plus you need the water at the beginning of the day. First thing in the morning is when you need to have your water. But she's a lady of ill repute. She's a lady that's not liked within her village. And Jesus has just journeyed there with the disciples, and they've gone off to get food and things, and he's sitting by the well. He's thirsty, she's thirsty, but she's physically thirsty. Do you think Jesus understands thirst? He spent 40 days in the desert. He understands thirst. So he's connecting with this lady at a physical realm. He knows she's thirsty. He knows she's been waiting all day to come and get the water so that she can be filled physically with water and no longer thirst. But what does he address in her? He helps her with the physical, but he also goes into the area of the spiritual. Because like our body without water dies, so our spirit and our soul thirsts for what God can do in our lives. That love from God. And they need to go hand in hand. It's no good just giving out the physical help and not dealing with the spiritual. And it's no good just dealing with the spiritual if you're not prepared to help with the physical. So when Jesus tells us that these two commandments are equally important, we need to put them side by side and work them through. First is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. Now, thankfully, we've got an amazing teacher in Jesus, don't we? When Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, he lives how to love your neighbor, doesn't he? He lives it 100%. Wherever he goes, whatever he's doing, he's loving his neighbor. He's doing it brilliantly. He's busy and he's on the road to somewhere, and a dad puts his hand up and says, Jesus, my daughter is really sick. Can you come and pray for her? What's he do? He stops the busyness and he works in and through it. And then even when the people come and say, don't worry, don't bother the teacher, your daughter's died, Jesus says, don't worry, mate. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Another time, Jesus is on his way to somewhere and he's got the disciples walking with him, and they get stopped by a funeral going past. And it's a physical thing. It's a time of much grief and upset, because the little boy that's in the casket is the only son of a widowed woman. And in that culture, this widowed woman is in big trouble now. She has no son to help provide for her, no to look after her. And if she's got a dysfunctional family, then who's going to look after her in that society? There's no Centrelink. There's no anything like that. And Jesus doesn't just stop back and let the funeral go past. He goes up and he reaches into the coffin as a holy man, as a rabbi, as a teacher of the law and the prophets. He touches the boy and raises him to life. He's touched the dead, the unclean. The letter of the law, he was out of the game for days. But he does it because he sees the physical need, and he hears the heart, and he knows the Spirit of God is wanting to work in that situation. The physical and the spiritual going together. Jesus gives us a beautiful example, and then gives us the challenge to go and do likewise. To do and be as what God called him to do. In that perfect example. Now, our God's a big God, isn't he? Massive God. Bigger than I could understand and bigger than I can ever dream of. Do you think he's got a plan for your life? He's got a plan for my life? I think he does. I believe he does. In fact, I want to go even further again. I believe he has placed you here today to be a part of what we're doing in this service. Maybe it's not the message that you're meant to hear. Maybe it was something in and through the praise and worship. Maybe it was something through the communion that God has ministered into your life. But I believe you're here for a reason. God went, I want you here for this purpose. And he's worked out ways for you to be here. Whether you're committed to this place and say, this is my church, this is where I'm hanging out, whether you're just visiting, whether you come to visit family or up on holidays, whether you're here for whatever reason and rationale you can think of, I believe God's got you here for a purpose. I also believe that God has you placed in your workplace for a purpose. I believe also God has placed you in your house for a purpose. You live where you live for a purpose and for a reason. There's a plan behind this. God is at work because he wants to reach the people where you live. He wants to reach the people where you work, and he wants to reach the people where you go to school, where you go to university, whatever you do, whether you're at the surf club, whether you're at bowls club, whether you're playing cards, making arts and crafts, whether you're serving at the front desk, the back desk, the outside desk, whether you're walking up and down the street, whether you're running down the beach or on the sand, he's with you, and he's with you for a purpose. And he's got a plan. Now, here's something radical for you. When Jesus said to love your neighbor as you love yourself, do you think he actually meant to love your neighbor, like the people next door? Or do we love the fact that we hear the Samaritan story afterwards? And the Samaritan story gives us an out, doesn't it? We don't have to love those noisy people next door. We don't have to love those people that live around us who annoy us, especially those people right behind us who get up at 6:30 in the morning and start banging things. Lucky we're awake at that time of the day anyway, but if I was trying to sleep in, it'd just annoy me. Lucky I can quote the Samaritan story and say, well, Jesus never told me to love my neighbor, because when he told the story, it was a Samaritan who was looking after some guy who'd been beat up. So wherever I do, whatever I go, I'm looking for people who've been beat up. Because that's my ministry. I want to look after those that need the help. I don't want to look after my neighbour. I don't want to look after the people I work with. I don't have to work with... I just want to go to work and do my job. I'm looking for those people that have been beat up by the world, and I want to work with them. Well, guess what? The people that have been beat up by the world are your neighbours. The people that have been beat up by the world are the ones at work, are at all these different places that you go, you hang out, coffee shops and everything. And they need something from God. And guess what? You're the vessel that God wants to use. You're the vessel in that time and place. As it was said to a little girl who became a queen, for such a time as this, God's got a plan. How big do you think God is? Am I overstating how big God is? Am I dreaming too much? Maybe. But just dream for a moment what difference that would make everywhere you are. I'm going to dream for a moment that all my neighbours in my street got to hear the good news about Jesus Christ through the Johnson family. And all of them got saved. And all of them were living on fire for God. Do you think my street would be a little bit different today than it is yesterday? Now, my workplace, that's a toughie. How you doing, Brendan? You need Jesus every day? All right, well, like we usual, every time we get together, mate, we're going to pray. But you know what I'm saying? Our workplaces need Jesus. Everywhere we are, the neighbours that are around us need Jesus. How big is our God? There's an interesting passage here, that Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself." Galatians 5, 14, New King James. All the law and the prophets hang on this. So as you fulfill, love the Lord your God and love your neighbour, you fulfill all the law and the prophets. This story is told in Matthew 22, but it's also told in Mark chapter 12. And I'm going to finish with Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, the teacher of the law comes up to Jesus and debates a bit and hears that Jesus is doing a good job. And he says this one question. "Of all the commandments, which is the most important one?" Verse 28. "And the most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these two." "Well said," said the teacher. Could you imagine a teacher saying to Jesus, "Well done, good work. Here's a gold star for you." Cheeky. "You are right in saying that God is one and then there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and with all your, and to love your neighbours as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and all the sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to them this: "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And then no one dared to ask him another question. Hey? How's that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, everything you are, and then to love your neighbour as yourself. Fulfills the law and the prophets. Kingdom of God. I want to see the kingdom of God here and now, in and through us as a church, in and through us individually, ministering, in and about, in and around. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word of love for one another. Thank you that you love us first. Lord, today, if we doubt your love, may we just put up our hand and reconnect right now, Lord God. May we just reach out and say, "Yes, Lord God, I do believe you love me. I want to walk in your love every day. Fill me anew with your love, Lord Jesus. Let me understand that love that sent Jesus to the cross, that saves me from my sin and sets me free to live in your strength and power every day. No longer bound, completely redeemed. No longer a victim, completely freed. no longer bound in ropes and chains, set free, no longer a captive or a prisoner to the things of the past, but walking in faith and in the Spirit of God. And Father, as we do that, may we be like in loving our neighbour, sharing with them the good news of what we've got in you, because you love us and we get to love you back. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to get Steve and the team to come back and lead us in one last song. And as they come back, if you would like prayer, when I've talked about love, God loving you, maybe that's gone cold, because it talks about that in the Bible. You know, you've lost your first love. And if that's happened for you, then today's a good day to have that replenished, to sit and talk and pray, and Brendan and I can pray with you and other people from the church, and just have that fire relaunched in your life, that fresh outpouring of God's love over your life, to acknowledge that again. If it's been there but it's been distant for a while and you've gone, I've just been walking in this, I've stuck in a rut, then come, get some prayer. Let's get you out of that rut and let the love of God fill you again, that you know that you are to walk in His love. Or you're struggling to love God back. You're not hearing Him as you used to. There's things that are in the blockage. Then let's get together and pray and get the blockage out of the road and let that love flow back. Because God doesn't give us a command that we can't do. Amen? He gives us something that we can do, that we can achieve, that we can complete, that we can walk in. He doesn't give us things to frustrate us and go, I'll never be able to do this. I can never love God like He calls me to. Well, guess what? You can. And you don't have to do it in your own strength. We can do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. So if you would like some prayer today, come, pray, and let God renew you and strengthen you, because He's got a vision for you this year and a mission. Has it changed from the beginning to now? That's between you and God. God bless. Come and pray.